Welcome to the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary podcast that doesn't really have a name, doesn't have bumper music, and does not have a consistent release date, but we do try to capture good content when we have people on our campus, and we do have a guest today. Christopher Talbot is a professor and author and leader at Welsh College in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got more to say about that, and it's actually Gallatin. But he has been on campus doing a spotlight on apologetics around the teaching of apologist Francis Schaeffer. Chris, it's been good having you here on our campus.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And it's been a good time and I think well-received as well. Tell us a little bit about you and your family, especially the son who's watching this all happen.
Yeah. I have one of my kids here in the room. He's watching with interest. I grew up in Southeast Michigan from a fairly nominal Christian home. Went to church every once in a while, but it wasn't until I was a teenager that I became a Christian. And from there on, I really had a deep interest in apologetics, an interest in knowing why I should defend the faith, what are good ways in which to defend the faith. Went off to Welsh College for my undergrad, did a master's at Grace College, and then I'm currently in the dissertation phase of a PhD program with a focus on Francis Schaeffer and the programs in apologetics and culture. And I'm married to my wonderful wife, Rebecca, who's from Alabama. And then we have three wonderful boys, William, James Elliott, and Samuel.
Fantastic. We're going to get into Francis Schaeffer, obviously. But a little bit for the listener about the National Association of Free Will Baptists. And up here, Free Will Baptist isn't a thing. It's Calvinist or whatever. We're not clear on this. And then also Welsh College, just a bit of a plug.
Yeah, Welsh College is the denominationally owned and operated College of the Free Will Baptist National Association. So we're an association of like-minded churches. We like to consider ourselves Reformed Arminian. So we very much think of ourselves within the Reformed tradition, but also Arminian as well. And so we're Baptists. We believe in the possibility of apostasy. We also practice an ordinance of foot washing as well. So those are kind of the unique things about our denomination.
I've gotten to know many Free Will Baptists through the years, and I don't even know why. I'd say it's the sovereignty of God, but that's just a joke there. You see, I'm not a Calvinist, neither are you. That doesn't mean God's not sovereign, yeah. Right? So, all right. Well, that's good. So, Francis Schaeffer, who he is and why you have devoted a portion of your life to him, I'm guessing those two things go together.
Yeah. Just a fascinating individual. I find myself talking about Schaeffer all the time. Like I said, he's the focus of my dissertation topic, but he was really instrumental in my own life. Found him really fascinating for a host of different reasons, I'm sure many of which we'll talk about here in a second. I think that Schaeffer, so he was born in 1912, died in 1984, wrote a lot of books on apologetics and the history of ideas, but also stuff on government and psychology and the arts. So really took the question of apologetics and cultural engagement really seriously. But I also thought he does a really, really good job of balancing truth, so a conviction in the truth of the Bible, while also having a very deep, deep compassion for individuals. And to me, if I were to try to sum up, if someone were to ask me, hey, why do you, give me one sentence why you like Schaeffer, it's that balance of truth and love exhibited through his life and ministry that I just find so fascinating and compelling and really want to be true about my own life.
Schaeffer has been a big influence on my life. I met him about age 35, 5 years into my pastoral ministry, and I found a canvas on which to put thoughts that I had. And so he's really influential in my life as well. So this has been a treat. The dean of our seminary said, this is like a candy store for you, isn't it? I said, yeah, I suppose. So that's good. Tell us a little bit about Francis Schaeffer's apologetic approach.
Yeah, he studied under a guy named Cornelius Van Til, who's kind of the father of presuppositional apologetics, although I don't know that Schaeffer is fully the exact same as Van Til is.
There really is a difference, if nothing else, in demeanor.
Sure, yeah. There's stories about Van Til. I don't know that he was the most warm personality. I think Schaeffer's main approach is really kind of like a worldview apologetic. And so I think most of what we think of when we think worldview apologetic is very much from Schaeffer. He treated worldviews as kind of these hypotheses to explain the world. And so he thought we could just test worldviews, check to see whether or not they hold up. And he usually said that there was two criteria to the test. One, that the worldview needed to have internal coherency. So it needed to work logically by itself. And then also, and probably more importantly, is it needed to correspond to the real world. And so sure, like something can work together, but it can not be true. Someone mentioned to me earlier today, Lord of the Rings is a really coherent world, you know, but it's not true. You know, it's a fictional world. So it actually has to fit with the way that the world actually is. And I think if Schaefer were here, he would say something like, test all the worldviews, and I think you'll find that Christianity alone will hold up.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. It's quite an approach. It's very helpful. It is presuppositional, but a verificationist, I think he,
yes,
as opposed to evidentiary.
Yeah.
And some of those categories are artificial.
Sure.
As we talk about those in an introductory apologetic class. If the listener doesn't know what I'm talking about, that's fine.
Yeah.
Apologetics is reasons and answers, and with the end goal that somebody will more clearly understand the Christian faith. And I think an evangelistic, certainly a goal of someone coming to faith in Christ, but that's not the, you know, that's not the test of a good apologist.
Yes. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, and Schaefer is really good at explaining those things culturally. Now I think we call it cultural apologetics.
Yes.
But that wasn't a term then, was it?
I don't think so. Yeah. And in some ways I really haven't heard that term until the last handful of years. People doing kind of different things with that, but I just don't know that there was a lot of people doing apologetics in the way that Schaefer was. So he was thinking about worldview, but it wasn't just in the abstract. He was looking at art and philosophers and theologians and musicians. And so he, you know, in his books, he quotes everybody from the Beatles to Salvador Dali, you know, and Hegel, you know.
So, it really works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's, yeah. We would say in a different era, polymath.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Very attractive, I think. And the way you talked about science a little bit too, yep, as a layman, I appreciated that as well. He has an observation that he had made about love between Christians in what he called his Hayloft experience, or Hayloft.
Hayloft experience.
Hayloft, yep, experience. Yep. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So in 1951, he has this crisis of faith. He kind of looks out among Christians that he knew growing up and in his ministry up until that point, and it just seems like he doesn't see a whole lot of visible love among other Christians. But it's not just out there. He says the second thing that led to his crisis of faith is that he didn't see a whole lot of love in his own life, that he himself had, you know, a legalistic and bitter tone. And so from there, he tells Edith, his wife, that he's going to rethink his whole faith. And so he walks the Swiss Alps when it's sunny. And then when it's raining, he walks back and forth in the hayloft of their Swiss chalet there. And he kind of thinks through his whole faith and decides at the end that it's all true, and it's true for all of life. And I think, that from there, you see kind of this marked difference. That Schaefer had already written on the Bible and you know, released some pamphlets and was very much convictional. But from that point on, it is true for all of life. And he really just wants to see Christ's lordship extended into every facet.
Probably the first Schaefer work I ever read was a little trade paperback pamphlet on the Mark of a Christian.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't even know where I would have found that. Maybe picked it up at a church library someplace. I don't even know. But I still have that one. So if I did get it from a church library, I stole it from that church library. I don't remember where. So that said, love. Today, we hear a lot of people say things like love is love, or the justification for any manner of silliness or evil is love. Mm. And then you ask what love is, they say love is love. And I didn't prepare you for this, but no, you know, what do you think Schaefer would say about that?
Yeah, this actually kind of goes along with a lot of his history of ideas and his apologetics. He would say he wouldn't say it this way, but that's self-referential. You know, it is, you're building something in the air, and so you're unable to substantiate that. If it's just love is love, there's nothing actually to build it upon.
Yeah, so it's self-referential. It's sawing off the branch that you're leaning your ladder,
yes,
against.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that carries weight in our society today.
Yeah.
If you put that on Facebook, hardly anybody will question you.
Yeah. Right.
And that's maddening for me, of course, but that we're not here about that. Three modern applications you talked about today that I thought were fascinating, and you did a really good job of contextualizing it in such a way that the only phone calls or emails I'll get will be completely unfounded. I'm just going to rattle them off,
sure,
and let you talk about it.
Yeah.
Social justice.
Hmm.
National syncretism, or today I think we would call it Christian nationalism,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you're trying to not say that.
Sure.
And then the sharing of wealth, but not as a socialist.
Yes.
So if you could contextualize those things, I think this is a good corrective for us. A, because all of these things are a confessional risk to us as,
yeah,
Christians.
Right.
But the other thing is, sometimes in saying, oh, that's liberalism,
yes,
we end up sanctifying idols that are really there. So maybe comment on those topics a little bit.
Yeah, and he mentions all three of these back to back in his book. He says these are three areas which the American church has largely gotten wrong. And I think what's unique about these, and you're alluding to this, is that each one of them are areas that are, we need to get them right, but they're easy to get wrong. So he mentions about the area of race, but maybe more broadly, like social justice. Christians, I think, should actually be involved in doing right in their culture. The problem is that term is, in a lot of ways, since Schaeffer, been co-opted to mean kind of whatever I want it to mean. You know, I want to do justice socially, but there's no kind of objective end goal there. I think he would say that, you know, we need to make sure that we're doing right by the people around us, racially, socially, all of that. But our measure for that is in Scripture. Similarly with, you know, I called it nationalistic syncretism, which is, I guess, a very academic way of saying it. I think there is a lot of overlap with what we might call Christian nationalism today, or just nationalism in general. He was just weary to say, hey, let's not make being an American and being a Christian one and the same. You know, where I grew up in Michigan and maybe here, that wasn't as much of a danger as I've seen maybe in the American South, where there's very much kind of a cultural Christianity at play. But he said things like, let's not wrap the Bible in the American flag. You know,
that's a really helpful phrase.
Yes, I think so.
And I think most people would agree with that.
Right, right. That kind of clarifies, I think, exactly what he's saying. Don't make them one and the same.
Yeah.
I mean, Schaeffer has a lot of works on government and law. So he's by no means saying don't be involved in the political sphere. Don't stop voting, you know, don't stop being an American, just don't confuse the two, you know, make sure that they're distinct. And then the last one, like you said, he's very critical of things like socialism, statism, things like that. And yet at the very same time says, hey, if you're a Christian and you are getting wealthy, make sure it's through the right ways. And then you use that money correctly as well. The interesting thing is some that can kind of run against the grain of our culture, all three of those. And yet, that's nothing really unique to like church history. You know, to care for other people, to make sure that your allegiance is to Christ and to Christ first, and then to make sure that you're caring for others through your financial means as well.
And there's a lot that could be said about that. I'd love to have Abraham Kuyper sitting
yes.
here.
Yeah.
it's just interesting to think about these thoughts as they've developed through the years. You also mentioned at the end. The sign of a guy who's working on a dissertation on a subject, you're ready to, you know, preach, pray, or die on that subject.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody asked, any areas of disagreement with Schaeffer? And you
yes.
were all over that one.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I mentioned a few different places. Schaeffer's a generalist. He wasn't an expert philosopher or historian. So a lot of times he's painting with pretty broad strokes. I think people that read him that are charitable will always say Schaeffer's conclusions are right. Every once in a while, he maybe get a few facts wrong along the way, but he's not trying to be a professional philosopher, a professional historian. I think that he gets Thomas wrong.
Aquinas.
Yeah, Thomas
13th
Aquinas.
13th century.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he gets Thomas Aquinas wrong. He says that Thomas kind of separates faith and reason. Thomas very specifically says he doesn't do that. I kind of want to take Thomas at his word. I think he gets Kierkegaard wrong. He says Kierkegaard's the father of like all existentialism. And people disagree on this. Some people think Schaeffer gets Thomas right. They think he gets Kierkegaard right. I'm just not super convinced. And then there's a few places that I don't know that he always says it the best way. You know, there's a place in A Christian Manifesto where he says we need to be ready to like take up arms and use force. But he doesn't qualify it as much as I would want to. You know, that's a big claim. I don't disagree with it. But I would want to say, hey, let's give some qualifiers to when that's actually the case. There's a handful.
That's a curious one to me, too, and yeah. I've read that. But
yeah.
The idea, I get this picture of Francis and Edith Schaeffer in the chalet, Swiss Alps, you know, people there on bad acid trips. And I'm thinking pacifist.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to... It's like Bonhoeffer's Valkyrie stage, you know, where he's what's the tension here? And it's interesting to me. I'm not sure we can do anything with that. But the Kierkegaard, I've had Kierkegaard. I'm not willing to baptize him, but you know, Kierkegaard, I've had wrong because my first exposure was Escape from Reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's interesting. I I realized when I was reading Nietzsche that I thought that was Kierkegaard.
Yeah.
So there's maybe some, but it's interesting that you can love this topic enough and still find disagreement, and that's an important thing for a scholar to have.
So, yeah.
This is a lot of fun. More to read, if somebody were to read, other than your forthcoming dissertation, which will be published, I hope, by Welsh College Press. Other sources that people can read.
Outside of Schaefer himself?
Well, why don't you list a couple of Schaefers and then tell us about Nancy Piercy.
That's right. I would say two good books to start with, if you've never read Schaefer before. His book, True Spirituality. I think he would say it's kind of the center of everything else that he wrote. A lot of, it might be in seed form, but a lot of the stuff that he writes about later is there in True Spirituality. If you want an even shorter book that really just gives Schaefer like really quick, he has a very short book called Two Contents, Two Realities. And I say book, it's probably more of a pamphlet. I think it's like 15 pages, 10 pages, something like that. But that lays out just a really clear picture of what Schaefer is trying to do in his life and in his ministry. There's some really good intellectual heirs to Schaefer, people that have, I would say, taken up the torch that Schaefer laid down and carried it forward. Guys like Jerome Bars and Ausgenes Guinness. But I think Nancy Piercy, someone asked me once, who's like the modern day Schaefer? And I think I would probably say Nancy Piercy. I think she very much does exactly what he did in a similar way, but she's writing her own books. You know, she's not just copying. She's extending this into other areas in her own way, but in a way that's very, very Schaeferian.
Yeah. And practical.
Too. Yes. Yes.
I really enjoyed having her. Yeah. I think she's actually sat in that chair. Maybe it was this one before.
Yeah.
So a mutual friend of Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, I connected the two of you on email. The world will be better with the two of you working together.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's about all that we have. That's a lot of ground in 16 minutes.
Yeah,
so thanks for thanks for doing that. We can go have lunch now.
Yeah.
So on behalf of Christopher Talbot and production assistant William Talbot and Luke Quambeck, who helped with this recording, I'm Dr. Wade Mobley, president of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, thanking you for listening to this episode. Have a great day.